The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching Jesus on the cross. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, people of God, this is the last Sunday after Pentecost, the culmination of that long green season. When we come to church next week, Penny and Ben will be wearing their stylish Advent purples, and we will begin a year-long journey through the Gospel of Matthew. We'll spend the few weeks before Christmas remembering the future, remembering what it will be like when all of God's promises are fulfilled, and the earth is full of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. That's how we begin every church year, so that every story that we hear after that is set in the context of those promises. This is what it will be like. And this is how we end every church year. On the last Sunday after Pentecost, we get to meditate on what the kingship of God looks like. This is Christ the King Sunday. And our scriptures give us vivid images of what God's kingship will be like. Jeremiah, in a lyrical moment, pictures God as the Good Shepherd, gathering all of his scattered and frightened people, gathering each of us from our places of pain and fear and loneliness and anger, and carrying us safely into the kingdom of God, step by sure step. Paul's letter to the Colossians makes an even bolder claim. In Christ, Paul says, this has already happened. God created all things through the word of God. You remember Genesis. God spoke, and everything sprang into being, from sunlight to field mice. And then something else amazing happened. The word became flesh and dwelt among us as a carpenter from Galilee, and we have seen his glory full of grace and truth. And in that carpenter from Galilee, whom we call Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He made all things, through him all things were made, and he came to us in order to heal all things. He holds all things together in himself and in his word, from sunlight to field mice. And so the whole world is held safe. Our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Orthodox tradition have a good way of saying this. Jesus' vocation, they say, Jesus' calling, is to gather up the whole world in his arms and give it back to God. That's some kind of kingship. This is all very well and poetic, beautiful words for a Sunday morning. But sometimes it's hard to see God's kingship in the world. It is hard to see how, if Christ is king over all the world, how is it then that there can be so many destitute and hungry and grieving in the Philippines? How is it that there are so many wars? How is it that we turn on the news every night and hear word of murders? How is it that so many of us are sick and lonely and tired? God is king over the whole world, yes. Christ is king. But it's hard to see what that kingship looks like. Now, in Sunday school last week, one of the kids asked me, "Well, Mother Claire, why did God send, why was there a hurricane in the Philippines? Did God send it? If God is good and loving, why is the world aching?" Which is a really brave question to ask, especially from a fourth grader. It's a question I think maybe more of us would ask, except that we've gotten too adult and too polite to ask something that bluntly. Well, okay, God is king, God is good, God is loving, yes. Why then do we hurt? I think the only way to answer that question, the only way to start answering it, is to look at today's gospel. It's Christ the King Sunday, on which we celebrate the majesty and the power and the glory of God. And we get which gospel? Oh yes, Jesus on the cross, broken and vulnerable, lost and alone, hurting. Which tells us something rather remarkable about the kingship of God. God, you see, this God whom we love and worship, this God whom we extol as the great King of glory, God doesn't ever choose the easy way out. And it is God's choice always to be with us in our pain. Let me put that another way. When the world was broken and hurting, God chose to heal it, not by divine fiat, not by saying poof and working magic and making everything better, but by coming himself in flesh and taking all that pain and sorrow and hurt and loneliness on himself. God chose to be with us. And 3 days later, think ahead from the crucifixion, 3 days. When Mary met Jesus in the garden on the Sunday of the resurrection, she did not recognize him at first because every cell of his body was streaming with the glory and the radiance of God. Even his wounds were beautiful. That, I think, is how God heals, by transforming, by radiance. And I think that is something of what the kingship of God looks like. Jesus on the cross, with us so closely that he dies with us. I saw an example of the kingship of God this past week at work. I don't know if all of you know. During the week, I work as a chaplain at a large retirement community in Richmond. And my primary care is for the residents with dementia. One of my residents, her name is Alice, and she's 84 years old. And as her ability to think clearly declines, she becomes more and more afraid and more sad and less able to tell us why she is sad and afraid. She feels very alone all the time. And on Thursday, when I last saw her, she was having a particularly rough day, and all she could do for hours was sit in her chair and rock. Now, one of her caregivers was going off shift. You have to picture this with me. Miss Alice is about yay high and weighs all of about 75 pounds. Her favorite caregiver is called Patrick, and to my eyes, he looks about 6'6". And as if he could be playing pro football in his off times. Patrick was leaving, and he was in a hurry. But he paused to give Miss Alice a hug and tell her goodbye. And she must have said something to him, because instantly he folded all 6'6" of himself, and he knelt by her chair, and he said, "Are you in pain?" Miss Alice answered him, "In my heart." And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It'll be all right. I'm with you. See?" And he picked up her hand and kissed it. That is the only time all day that I saw Miss Alice smile. And what I want to suggest to you is that the kingship of God looks a lot like that. That if you want to see how God is king, look for the people who kneel and say, "Are you in pain? It's all right. I'm with you." Look for that in the Philippines. Look for that in the soldiers and the policemen and the firemen who go into violent places and try to heal them. Look for that in your own lives. Remember that that is what God does for us, to kneel down and say, "Are you in pain? I'm here, and I love you." And each of us who are called to be people of God, each of us can also do that. So when you go out from this church today, and you see your brothers and sisters in pain, practice that. Kneel and say, "Are you in pain? It's all right. I'm here, and I love you." And in so doing, bear witness to the glorious fact that God is king over all the earth, and we are being healed. Amen.